I have titled this message, The Gift of Christmas. If you're in a countdown, then you have 16 more days till Christmas. Doesn't sound like much, does it? Are you ready? Everybody's doing this a bit. Huh? No, I'm sorry to report, but some people have a real headache at Christmas. They find it real hard to do the things that are expected of them at Christmas. They spend time shopping with money they don't have, and they spend more than they can afford because of that. There's even a time of wrapping presents for people, and some people you may not like them, but you still got to wrap a present. At midnight on December 25th, it's all over. It's all over. Great relief. Great relief. And I pray that none of us have that kind of attitude toward the peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Amen. In fact, I hope you're with me when I say that Christmas should not be confined to one day. It should be a year-long celebration with gratitude for our Savior who became a personal sacrifice for each one of us. Amen. I want you to contemplate something with me. What would you do if one day you realized all your dreams were shattered? All of your precious plans have gone up in smoke. Makes me wonder what Joseph felt like, the husband of Mary, what he felt like, how he dealt with his broken dreams. I recently read this article, and I want to read it to you about that very thing. Like other engaged couples, Joseph and Mary had dreams of being married and raising a family together. The dream lasted until the day Mary told Joseph that she was going to have a baby who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was sure she had been unfaithful. His idea of marriage, the marriage and spending his life with the person he loved, was gone that quick. It took a dream, a special message from an angel to convince Joseph that everything was okay. And Mary's child was going to be special. Amen. The only way to make sense out of his broken plans was to totally accept God's will for his life, to believe what the angel had said, and to do exactly as what the angel had instructed. Only then could Joseph be part of God's plan of salvation for this world. Broken dreams are part of many people's lives. An empty place in our hearts and homes caused by death and divorce, a relationship broken because of unfaithfulness, a business venture that has gone wrong, a terminal disease, even broken dreams when your child has walked away from the Lord. And the only way to go on, despite the brokenness, is to turn to the Savior, the one who came to this earth because of all the broken dreams. If you are broken, if you're broken, the only way to celebrate Christmas is to ask the Savior to heal you. Only He can heal brokenness. I would imagine that each one of us knows someone who is broken and in need of repair. But if your life is broken, if your life is broken, if your dreams have been shattered, Jesus is the only one whose birthday we will celebrate is here this morning to heal you of that brokenness. Amen. Now, as Christmas approaches and this year quickly comes to an end, let's be reminded of our constant need to worship God. Our constant need. which means that in everything we do, in everything we say, we should be glorifying the eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Last week, we did some of that. As a child of God, how thankful are you? How thankful are you? Do others know that you truly are who you say you are? Do they recognize your faith by the way you live, the way you speak, the way you do things, the way you give God credit for those things, for everything in your life? The topic of my message today is the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. Now, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 10. But I want us all to stand together and read these verses in unison. And when we're finished, before you sit down, I want you to please tell somebody, I'm looking for my gift this morning. Looking for my gift this morning. So Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 10. And please stand and let's read this together. I'm reading out of New King James, and that'll be on the board here behind me. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, that which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Now tell your neighbor you're looking for your gift this morning. You may be seated. I had a friend years ago, his name was Tommy. Him and his wife had a unique way of giving gifts. Maybe you guys do this, I never have, but maybe you do. Tommy and his wife decided they were always buying the wrong gifts for each other at Christmas, so they came up with this plan. Tommy would buy a gift for himself and then give it to his wife. His wife would buy a gift for herself and give it to Tommy. And then the day after Christmas, they would swap gifts, and by doing this, each one of them got what they wanted. Amen. I remember one year in particular, he bought her a bow for hunting, and she bought him a bunch of ladies' clothes her size. Whatever it takes, folks, whatever it takes. Now, let me ask you, are you expecting someone to buy you a gift? Maybe you're searching to buy yourself a gift. Do some of you think, as I do, perhaps we've lost some of the focus on Christmas, some of the celebrating of Jesus' birthday? It seems to me that the focus of Christmas has shifted into what we give and what we get, and that's all. Amen? So the joy of the season has become the joy of giving and receiving. Every year, a wife may ask her husband, "What are you getting me for Christmas?" And the wife may ask, and the husband might ask his wife, "What are you getting me for Christmas?" And if you have children, they will make a list of what they want for Christmas. Now, there's nothing wrong in giving and receiving gifts, especially at Christmas time. Nothing wrong in that. If you have a generous heart, you love to give. You love to give. And it's certainly not a sin to receive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But please understand, don't give a gift. Don't give a gift just to receive accolades for your generosity. By doing that, you give a gift with the wrong motive. Amen? Listen, folks, it does not matter how many gifts you pass out at the orphanage or the nursing home without the true meaning of Christmas motivating your generosity, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Now, allow me to give you some fatherly advice this Christmas. I can do that to most people here.
Amen.
If you're on a budget, which I hope everyone is, you carefully guard your spending. You're probably looking for a bargain. You go from store to store looking for the most bang for your buck. Amen? Or maybe you use the internet to compare prices, but you're trying to find a bargain. It's wise to be a discriminate shopper, especially if it is a more pricey item and you have someone special like me to bless. My caution is that many, many people at Christmas just say, charge it. Simply because they don't have the cash to spend in the first place. And folks, again, it's all right to receive and give gifts, but please be careful with your spending. And may I add, please do not use your tithe and offerings for your Christmas fund. Remember, God can do more with 90% than you can do with 100%.
Amen.
Amen. This year, like many other years, there are millions of people, both children and adults, that will open up millions of gifts. Some won't fit. Some will be the wrong color or size. Some will get stored away in the garage or in the attic, and some gifts won't be liked at all. They won't be liked at all. So on the day after Christmas, many of us will be back to the stores to return or exchange some misfit gifts. I would imagine all of us have stories we could tell about some of those kinds of gifts. But ever since the wise men from the East gave their gifts to Jesus, people have been exchanging gifts at Christmas. I would like to submit to you today that there is a gift we can all share this Christmas, and it's greater than any gift we can receive. It is greater than any gift we can receive. So let's talk about this special gift, this one that's perfect for you and me. Brothers and sisters, the gift I'm referring to is, of course, the gift God gave us, His Son Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Amen.
It is the gift of Jesus Christ that will meet everyone's need. Everyone's need. This gift will never wear out. It will never break. It will never need repairs. And it is the only gift that comes with an eternal warranty. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, rich or poor, black or white, short or tall, fat or slim, this gift is always appropriate. Always appropriate. Many people desire those expensive, sought after, indispensable gifts, but the gift God gives us is all of that and more. All of that and more. It far exceeds the value of any other gift you could ever be given. In fact, This Christmas gift is priceless. Priceless. Now let's return to our text for today, starting at verse 4. Let's look at these verses. I'm going to drink the water while you get back there. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." Rich in mercy. The Lord rich in verse 4 means having an abundant supply. Having an abundant supply. And there's no question about it. Our Christmas gift is rich in God's mercy. It's rich in God's mercy. For the believer, Jesus has more than enough love for you and me. And his mercy endures forever. Plus, his mercies are new every morning. Amen? When you and I choose to show God's grace to an unbeliever, we do so by revealing it through his grace and mercy. Amen? The Christmas present we have received through Jesus Christ, our Lord, is rich in love, in grace, and mercy. Without our Savior Jesus, man is destined to die eternally. But God in his mercy chose not to give us what we deserved. And I can say hallelujah to that. Amen. Through his mercy, he offers us grace to once again give us what we do not deserve. We do not deserve. The love, the mercy, the grace are all made possible through the life of Jesus, our special gift of Christmas. Amen. Saints, we were spiritually dead, lost in our sins, doomed to hell because of our unbelief, yet the love of God reached out to us so as to quicken us together with him. The word quicken means to restore to life. How amazing. How amazing. How divine. Our Christmas gift makes us alive. Alive in him. Praise God, we have moved from death to life through the gift of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now look at verse 6 of our text. "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We who were dead, graveyard dead, helpless in that state, were lifted up by Jesus. He has exalted us, and therefore we are now given a position with him, seated in heavenly places. Let me tell you that again. You are now seated in heavenly places. Amen? This Christmas gift is getting better, isn't it? Amen. Listen, folks, it was through Christ's redeeming act and Almighty God's forgiveness that we are now qualified to sit with him in heavenly places. Amen? Can anybody here get excited about those kind of things? Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. This is shouting ground. Physically, we remain here on earth, but our spiritual position is in heavenly places with Jesus. We may be here, but we actually belong up there. Amen? And our spirit's already connected to Jesus up there. Hallelujah. And in the future, folks, as you all know, we'll be up there all the time and praising God in our new house. Amen. I wonder who's going to throw the first party in their new house. We have been accepted by the beloved. We've been received as his very own children. And just as Jesus is the Son of God, so now we have become sons and daughters of the Almighty, seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of us should be taking time during this Christmas season to thank our Heavenly Father for the greatest gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. Now, I have my Christmas gift already because I belong to Jesus. He has become a friend that will never leave me. He sticks closer than a brother. And as my best friend, Jesus always has my back, and He always has my best interest in mind.
Amen. Amen.
Friends on earth may forsake me. Friends here may push me aside. But I can count on my friend Jesus for His presence and His support. While I was thinking of those words, I thought about a song that many of us have sung, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And looked at that song, and I want to read you the second verse. It goes like this. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? What about it? Do we have trials and temptation? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? I don't believe it. Who will all our sorrows share? I don't have a friend down here that'll share my sorrows. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
It is easy to tell that the writer of that hymn has already received his gift at Christmas. Now, I want us to look at verse 7 and 9 of our, through 9 of our text. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is said that Jesus' purpose for our redemption is not simply to rescue us from hell, which is a great work by itself.
Amen.
His ultimate purpose in giving us grace for our salvation is that for all eternity we might really know Him and praise Him. We talked a lot about praising the Lord last week. When we use the term grace that was in this verse, these verses, we must realize that grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Therefore, grace means that our salvation is offered completely apart from any merit or any personal works. This is a free and undeserved favor of God we're talking about. The Apostle Paul insists that it can only be received through grace. Through grace. That's the only way we can all be saved. You and I can wear ourselves out doing good works. But the fact remains, it is only through God's grace that we're saved. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation cannot be earned. You can't receive salvation through personal accomplishments, by your former successes, the strides you are making, or the good works you keep doing. So, God had a plan to send this wonderful Christmas gift to the earth so that mankind could receive forgiveness and salvation by simply asking Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Salvation is a free gift. All we have to do is accept it.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if someone came to you this Christmas and gave you a package and said, this is your Christmas gift, and then they added, however, you owe me money for this gift, would that package really be a gift? No. Because the true gift is always free with no strings attached to it. Salvation is God's free gift to you and me. When Jesus, our gift of Christmas, died on the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn in two pieces. I didn't look it up, but that veil, they said, was like a foot thick. That didn't happen accidentally. It was torn from the top to bottom, that's right, revealing to every Jew that the way to God was now open to them. It was open. The Holy of Holies was not separated from the temple anymore. No earthly sacrifices were necessary. Jesus, the gift of Christmas, paid it all when he became the final perfect sacrifice, when he died in our place and finished the great work of salvation, defeating death, hell, and the grave. God did it all. And now salvation is offered through his grace to whoever will receive it. To whoever will receive it. Verse 10 of our text reads like this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The word workmanship means that which is made, a manufactured product, something effected or produced. Understand that our God is a skilled craftsman. Skilled. Therefore, after we are saved, we become part of God's superior workmanship.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord is crafting us according to his divine design. He has one for you. Those rough edges you have, I have, must be chipped away. Those bad attitudes must come under God's control.
Amen.
Amen? Those nasty tempers and those unforgiving spirits must submit to the specialized work of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
My response to this wonderful gift is, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That's why we can sing like my kids used to. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right?
Hallelujah.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Remember that song, Joy? Now, I might be a slow learner, but God in his mercy continues his craftsmanship in my life so that I become molded into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He is forever fine-tuning us. Years ago, the TV sets, you could pick the station, but then you had to fine-tune it to get it into the right frequency. I don't think it hardly ever worked, but we thought it worked. So he is forever fine-tuning us to think like, act like, talk like Jesus.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Sadly, many saved people, hear me, saved people, still allow the old man nature to remain in control of their daily walk. It robs them of God's peace. For some with a thicker skull cap, it might take a little longer or significantly longer for God to shape them or use them or lead them. For example, the Bible tells us that God spent 40 years working with Moses before he could do any good works through him. Amen. Moses started off his ministry depending on his own strength. As a result, he killed an Egyptian, which forced him to promptly leave town. And then, far away from home and far away from his friends, working as a humble shepherd in the desert, Moses experienced God's touch on his life. It was a time that prepared Moses for 40 more years. But now he was following God's plan. For 13 years, Joseph suffered before God put him on the throne of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. As a young person, David was anointed king, but he did not gain the throne until he had suffered many years as an exile. Saints, your Almighty Father God must work in you before he can work through you.
Amen.
Are any of you here today that you're enduring some trying times? Maybe God is just working a change in you.
Transformation. Hallelujah.
Do some of you sometimes feel like you're severely tested? Maybe God's just working a change in you. Do you sometimes feel that people are running all over you? Maybe God is working a change in you. Do you sometimes feel as though you are going in circles and nothing is being accomplished? Maybe God is just working a change in you. Does it seem like the world has turned against you and those you have trusted have turned their backs? Maybe God is just working a change in you. The Holy Spirit cannot work through you unless He first does a work in you. It is essential that we as believers yield our will to Jesus during the times of suffering. How else will we become His workmanship? As we mature in the Christian faith, we grow to be like Jesus through the studying of the Word, through continual prayer, but also through personal suffering. If God brings us to it, He will also bring us through it.
Amen.
Just hang on, folks.
Amen. He'll
bring you through. Hang on and trust. Allow the Holy Spirit access and freedom to do spiritual workmanship in you. Amen. And let that old man die.
Hallelujah.
And never let it be resurrected again.
Amen. Amen.
Now, God desires to do a work in you so that you are equipped to imitate the life of Christ. What did Jesus do while He was here on earth? Well, He would preach and teach and heal the sick. He constantly shared the love of God and doing good works. Are we created in Christ Jesus for good works? Let me remind you, we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved to do good works. Amen?
Amen.
To do good works. Doing all of the good works in the world will not make us right with God, because God made good works for us personally. And these works do not do anything for our salvation. That's already been paid for.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Once we have been reconciled to God, once we have been redeemed, we become God's workmanship, so that good works will naturally flow from our lives and be evidence of our Christian walk. If we are saved, if we are children of God, and good works is not manifested in our lives, then something is wrong. Something's wrong. And please understand, we cannot manufacture these good works. They are the results of the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. God created good works for you, and He created good works for me. And they may be different. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." It is God that helps us to perform good works, and it is God alone that must receive glory for these good works. In Matthew 7:21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven." Good works are prepared for you. For you. Good works that God has ordained for you to accomplish. The unbeliever or unsaved person walks according to the course of this world. But the believer, the child of God, walks according to the good works the Father has ordained for him. Amen? Amen? Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now, may I ask you, are you still looking for your Christmas gift?
Yep.
Yep. We're going to pray for you. Yep. The real Christmas gift is the reason for the season. It's the gift of Christmas. It is said that he is the comforter who brings comfort in times of trials. He is the Holy One in whom we can trust. He is the Prince of Peace in whom we can find peace. He is the Redeemer who erases all of our sins. He is the I Am, that all-powerful God who is greater than any problem. He is the Son of God who destroys the works of Satan. He is the teacher who teaches us how to live as overcomers. He is the Man of Sorrows who was broken for our healing. He is our advocate who takes our petitions to Father God. He is our Savior who will save all who come to Him. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus, the most perfect Christmas gift, is just like any other gift that you are given, but the gift must be received. The gift must be received. So on December 9th, 2018, I'm giving you Jesus. He has always been the most wonderful, marvelous gift that I've ever received. It's been many, many years ago that I received Jesus as my Christmas gift. Countless others have done the same. And if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do the same. You can do the same. You can receive Him this morning. Jesus is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. And even though we may not deserve it, He offers us the matchless gift of the Father's amazing grace. Amazing grace. It's available to each one of us this morning. Hallelujah. But you have to receive the gift. You have to receive the gift. So I want us to do something. I want us all to stand. And I'm going to say the sinner's prayer, and I want you to repeat it after me. We want everyone to be saved. And folks, if you haven't ever bowed your knee to Jesus, today's the time. Today's the time. He's getting closer and closer to coming back for His bride, which is the church, which is the redeemed people of Jesus Christ. We want you on that trip.
Amen.
We want you flying with us. Amen. I want to, while we're flying, I want to look around and see brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. I doubt I'll be able to do that, but it's a good thought. Because I think we're here and then there. So I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer, and y'all just pray it after me. And let's receive Jesus, all of us. Amen. Father God,
Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I've lived a life that's been away from you. But today, I commit my life to you. Jesus,
please forgive my sins.
Every one of them.
I give them to you.
And look for your forgiveness. And Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And Jesus, take over my life and lead me in the ways you want me to go. And I say this prayer in belief that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Give him a big hand today, folks. Amen. Amen.